Hey folks, welcome to Writer Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider and other shit if there's time. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And this week we watched Dobutsu Sentai Juojer Episode 6 and Kamen Rider Ghost, When the Hell Is This Series Gonna End? Liam, why don't you tell us what happened on Ghost this week?
On Ghost this week, so Takeru comes back from the Gamma World last time. Remember, he conveniently emerged right where they needed him to, at the time they needed him to, and he's seen some shit. He saw that guy melt. So he gets back and he's like, alright, it's time to get those icons. I gotta get those icons right now, and then I can get another wish, and I can just wish all this shit away. And that'll be my, that's my motivation right now. And also, Alan is here in the real world, but he's still, like, a hunted man. They send Javert back, like, his real body, Javert, and he's got, like, the Ultima icon, and he's gonna fuck everybody up. So they send him back to look for Alan, and Takeru is also back, and he's looking for the icons. Alan gets attacked by Javert, and they're like, oh, Takeru, you gotta help. And Takeru's like, he's just a Ganma, though, and if he dies, I can take his icons anyways, so...
This is our hero, everyone.
So Makoto helps, and Makoto helps him escape while Takeru just complains. And all the icons now, all of the icons that are in Takeru's possession, I believe, what are there, like 10 of them? Something like that. They all say to Takeru, hey, Takeru, we've been watching, and honestly, we're not very impressed. And they fly away.
You've made like a fucking catchphrase for this show.
They fly away from him. Takeru's gotten too greedy and the icons don't respect him anymore. They go to join the icon driver G that's like in the basement. They go to fly over there. That's where they go. So Makoto helps Necrom escape, and Necrom's like, oh.
Also, Necrom and Makoto's icons fly off for zero fucking reason to join them.
Yeah, later on the icons also fly away. I guess they're all drawn together to have a conference. They have a little conference later on. Alan escapes, and he goes to eat some takoyaki with the takoyaki lady, and I guess it's a really brief scene, and I don't know why it's there, because Javert shows up and starts fighting him again, right away. And he starts getting beat up, and while he's getting beat up, Takeru is lounging by a shore, moping, and Makoto's like, Takeru, why don't you snap out of it? And Akari and Onari are like, yeah, man, snap out, you're not being yourself, buddy. And he's like, I just gotta get those fucking icons, man.
He's like, I'm done with this shit. All the icons are gone, fuck it. Fuck you.
And Makoto
punches the shit out of him.
Makoto does the classic Showa Rider, I'll snap you out of this, I'll punch you right in the fucking jaw. And then he's like, Takeru, come on, we gotta go help Alan. Takeru's like,
yeah, no, he knocks the shit out of him. And then he turns around and he's like, hey, let's go.
Yeah.
And he's surprised when Takeru's like, no, you just fucking punched me.
He's like, Makoto's like, wait, that didn't work? What? It always works on canon. So they leave to go fight Javert, but they can't beat him because they're not the main character. So they get their asses kicked, and Ultima is too strong.
They don't
strong.
Believe in themselves, Liam.
They don't have they didn't realize that the power was in them all along yet. So they're fighting Javert and they're losing, and Makoto gets killed, and it's a very emotional scene. But he's an icon.
Well, fucking Takeru walks up, and he watches while Makoto gets killed. He's like, look, the script says I have to just stand here and watch my best friend get murderated and not do jack shit about it.
Makoto dies, and everyone cries. And everyone's like, oh no, Makoto. But he's an icon, so he's got a body, so it's fine. Everyone's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, Alan cries, even though he's well aware that he has a body.
Yeah, and Akari, who doesn't know, doesn't cry at all. And he turns into an icon, and Akari's like, what, he was an icon? What? I'm way behind, everybody. I'm gonna need to sit down. So he dies, and his icons fly away. Necrom's icons don't respond to him, and they fly away. They all gather to have a conference in the basement.
You know what I just realized?
What?
During the scene when everybody's like, oh no, Makoto's dying or whatever, Onari just fucking stands there like a statue and never says anything or
Onari
does
doesn't
anything.
Give a shit.
He's like, I don't even like that guy.
I tried to talk to him once in the Kamen Rider Double episode of the Legendary Rider Souls, and he was mean to me. So fuck him.
So fuck it. I hope he dies.
Yeah, and he does. His icon explodes. So his icons fly away, and they all talk. They're like, okay, all the icons are together. We have gathered at last. Should we help this kid, Takeru? Because he's decided now. Takeru decides, he resolves. He's like, I'm going to fight this Javert. I'm going to beat him for Makoto. I got to protect my buds.
I'm going to use my regular form first, because kids still need to buy the toy.
Yeah, please check it out. So that he goes to fight, and all the icons are so impressed that they go into the icon driver G, and it lights up. Like, it's all grayscale when they first find it. But they put it into it, and it turns into color, and they fly off to go help Takeru. So he puts it on, he turns into a grateful soul, and he blows up Javert to show how tough he is. And that's the end of the episode.
Well, first, one of the weird panels inside the prayer room that Adonis was in all the time goes through the floor, and Adele is like, wow, this is plot relevant. And then it appears, and it shoots the magma dopant costume on top of the Ultima suit. And he has a lady voice for some reason, and then it doesn't matter. Because Takeru still destroys him.
He has, like, a female robot voice. And then Takeru blows him up. The end of episode 23. Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider Ghost episode 23?
Who fucking cares?
I care about your opinion, my friend.
I don't care about this show.
Oh. It's,
I hate to be that way, but it was just all this shit happened in this episode, and I don't care.
I think I like this episode more than you.
Yeah, again. I'm sure you did.
Yeah. I guess that's the shit from now on.
It's just back and forth forever. I don't know. Takeru was a little fucking baby back bitch this whole episode, and like, this is not how I wanted seeing the people dying to affect him. What I wanted was for him to be like traumatized by it and be like, oh god, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm gonna have to figure shit out. Time's running out, but what do I do? Instead, he was like, I fucking hate all of you, and now I'm an edgelord. I'm gonna give up, because fuck it.
I'm gonna disagree with you completely there and say that I liked that. I liked Takeru's arc in this episode, because he had an arc. I get to see Takeru act for 20 minutes.
He had no arc. He was a shit face, and then he stood and watched his friend die because the script said he needed to, and then he changed his mind.
No. Okay, he sees a guy melted to ash, right? He says, holy shit, this is fucked up, and the only way I know how to deal with it is to get all the icons right now, and then I can just deal with it. Okay.
Well, wait a second, sir.
Okay.
At the beginning of the episode, he has no he doesn't even think about the fucking icons. He's like, forget collecting the icons. I just want to stop the Ganma. And then the old man's like, you have to get the icons to get the wish. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm an idiot. I can use my wish to get rid of the Ganma.
Okay, look, the details don't matter. The point is he gets desperate in the episode, and it changes his character a little bit.
That would be fine. I would actually be fine with that if it hadn't got to the point near the end where he's like, you know what, forget it. I'm gonna let everyone die under the Ganma's boot, because fuck it. I don't care anymore.
Okay, that was pretty dumb. Yeah. But it was nice. Like, I didn't think it was as bad as you. At least he has a moment where he snaps out of it real quick and realizes he's a dumbass. When he sees his friend getting killed, or, you know,
He
sees his friend turn into an icon, and then the icon blow up, and he's like, whoa!
It was so awkward, though, that he just stood there and watched his friend die. Like, it wasn't even, I mean, it happened before in the episode where Alan and Makoto were fighting against Javert, and he just stands there. At that point, he doesn't think, you know, what if Makoto gets murdered in this fight right now? He's my best friend. Fuck Alan, though. Whatever. I can understand that. But then there's like a fucking life or death situation going on. His friend is on death's door, and the other guy's about to get blowed up. And he's like, I guess I'm just gonna stand here.
Well, the thing that's dumb about that is that it's Heisei drama for its own sake. How, like, oh, He's shaken, so he's gonna do shit that's totally nonsensical. He's like, I want to stop the Ganma. I have to stop the Ganma. There's this Ganma rampaging. I don't want to fight him. I don't want to fight him. I'm scared. You guys do it.
Yeah.
Which is dumb.
It is dumb, and Takeru's actor isn't really that good at portraying that. He seems like he's turned into an asshole for no reason, and then he stands there and kind of looks away like he doesn't want his photograph taken. Like, they're like, come on, Takeru, get in the picture. And he's like, no, I don't want it.
If I was involved with Ghost, I would not want my face to get anywhere. I don't want it online. I don't want it in anybody's photo books and say, look, this man had a hand in Kamen Rider Ghost.
You loved this episode. You wanted to kiss this episode open mouth.
This is my favorite episode of any television series ever. It's the highest art. It was a fine episode, I thought.
I didn't like this episode.
That's fair.
And honestly, it probably is soured my view on it because I was watching Juojer first today.
Oh.
And at the end of Juojer, it's next episode, and then Ghost appears on it, and my fucking heart sank. I was like, oh no.
It's the spring crossover next week. You excited, buddy?
I have to watch Ghost in 2 shows now?
Oh.
I was having a good time with my animal sensei. I don't know. I was just not in the mood today for Ghost shit. I still don't care about any of these characters. There's weird tonal shifts that aren't... They're not like... Alright, I'm gonna level with you.
Okay.
I don't know how to put this into words. Right. There are weird tonal shifts.
Yes.
That bug the shit out of me. Like, when Alan gets his ass beat, and then they escape, and then he eats takoyaki, and he smiles for some reason when he sees takoyaki, like he knows what it is.
Like he's not a hunted man.
Like he's not a weird fucking ghost monster man who's never seen this shit before in his... He saw takoyaki once, and he was like, oh my god, that's round. Is it an icon?
He eats...
And now he's like, oh, takoyaki,
He eats food earlier, and he says, wow, this is a huge inconvenience that you have to do this. And then his second time eating food, he's like, oh, this is awesome, actually.
Yeah, he starts smiling and having a good time. I was like, is this an outtake? Why is this in the show?
The thing about this...
And then Javert just shows up. Like, that whole scene was, 30 pointless. Seconds long.
Pointless scene. He fights Javert, he escapes, he sits in a park, and then he fights Javert again. Okay.
Why is Javert back again?
Because...
there's no purpose.
We have to show how strong Grateful Soul is.
Javert had a personality to begin with, right? He was, the double agent for Alan's brother. And he could have had some sort of anything to his character. Now he's just upgrade main. I'm here to be powerful so you can fight and have an upgrade.
I wouldn't say he had a vibrant personality, but he had a proper role in the plot.
Yeah,
that he doesn't
have.
He had
a beginning of a personality.
Yeah.
He had the first steps towards being a character, and they were just like, you know what? He's a plot device now. Couldn't this have been anyone else?
It could have been a character that they had introduced this episode, and it would have the exact same impact and the exact same implications.
It could have just been like one of the regular Ganma using the Ultima icon.
Yeah, whatever. Could have been Igor.
He's pointless. He's absolutely pointless.
Yeah. He's a waste, but the actor signed on for so-and-so amount of episodes, so they gotta keep having him.
Hey, do you remember when there were two guys that were always around? One of them had glasses and the other one didn't, and they seemed like they were gonna be part of the cast.
I legit forgot who you were talking about, actually.
You were like, what the fuck is he talking
three
about?
Three quarters into your sentence, I was like, oh...
Ghost is like, look, we're not making our actual main characters into characters, so we're not bothering with these secondary characters either. Fuck
yeah, we're not even going to have them in the show. What are you thinking?
You're right, though. Takeru's actor acted more in this episode than he had at any other point in the series.
That's why I'm kind of sad, though, is because his whole character arc in this episode is over, but it's not like a good character arc where it changes who they are. Or changes some outcome.
No, it returns him to exactly the person he was last episode.
Yeah, next episode he's just going to be him again. Same boring old self who just sort of looks at stuff blankly. Smiles sometimes, maybe.
I Can we drop Ghost? Is that allowed?
Nope.
Nope. No, we gotta watch
Onward it. We march.
I'm genuinely frustrated, though, is the thing. Because I was trying to look on the bright side with Ghost, but I watched Kamen Rider J again last night.
Why would you do that to yourself? You're going to ruin your opinion of Ghost even more.
There you go. Exactly. Like, fucking Kamen Rider J is an hour and 25 minutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Hour and 30 minutes. It's a really short movie. And in that movie, I grew to like Jay as a character far more than Ghost in episode 23?
Three, yeah. They don't...
Yeah, 23 episodes of this show, and I don't give a shit about Ghosts. 20 minutes of Jay, and I liked Jay as a character.
It's because I don't give a shit about anybody in Ghost, really. I know we've said this before.
No, I don't either.
It's just they don't know how to write a character and make them interesting. Like, when you make a character in a show like this, that's like a simplistic plot, like a superhero thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to watch your favorite character go through a struggle and have a reaction to a thing. You wanna see how your character reacts to different situations, right? How does he deal with a mugging? How does your superhero deal with a bank robbery? How does your superhero deal with, I don't know, there's an injured person, but also the bad guys get in the way? Or
yeah,
something.
Like
that's
evil twin from another dimension shows up. What does your character do in that situation?
Yeah, and that's how you define their character, right? You don't need monologues, right? You can define their character through how they react to specific superhero situations. But Takeru reacts the same way to everything. He just puts the belt on and he says okay, and he doesn't feel real.
No, he's there to yell that he believes in himself every episode.
He doesn't emote, he just says his life's gonna burn bright, and then he does a fight.
That, like, I believe in myself line was cringeworthy to begin with, and I didn't like it, but I was like, you know what, they'll work a way around that to make the character more interesting, and eventually, like, at the end of the series, you'll be like, yeah, his life did burn bright. He did believe in himself, or whatever. And now, every time he says it, I'm like, well, there's his personality. They're showing his personality for the 1 second in this episode it's going to show up.
It's like a bad sitcom where a character is just a catchphrase, and that's it.
Yeah, he got flanderized.
Yeah.
We're on episode 23, and he was flanderized from episode 3.
Maybe episode 1 or 2.
Episode 1 and 2, we didn't know anything about his character. He kept changing personalities every 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you remember the Drive special, like, where Ghost showed up?
Yes.
And he had, like, a cool man personality? And he
moved,
like, really spooky and cool the way he fought and everything?
He had a personality, yeah.
I want to see that show.
Yeah, well. The thing with Ghost... is he at the very beginning of the series, he dies. He gets killed.
Yeah.
And that's huge. And what's his reaction to that is every now and again he says, I don't want to fight. And then they say, you got to fight. And then everything's normal. He acts like everything's normal. And then maybe 2-3 episodes later, there's like a 2-minute part where he's like, I don't want to fight. And then eventually even that goes away.
He's like, I don't know what to do. But he never searches for an answer to that.
Yeah.
It just gets handed to him eventually after he mopes long enough.
It's lazy writing, just like this whole season.
That's what I wanted from him, like, seeing the disintegrating body, is for him being like, I don't know what to do, I need to search out a solution, and some plot needs to happen, and I need to grow as a character.
Ooh, maybe that could be an arc, him trying to figure out what to do next.
Instead of, he just mopes around until somebody punches him and he falls in a river.
Every time it seems like...
You know where that was done very well is in Space Sheriff Gavon the movie, where our character, Geki Jumonji, is unsure about what to do next. He has no idea how to stand up to a villain who has a connection to him, a deep connection.
Mm.
And the original Space Sheriff Gavon beats the shit out of him. And gives him a life lesson, and his character grows from the beginning of that to the end. And he finds his confidence, and he figures out what to do.
It's not just a punch to the face. He actually gives him a little, like, what the fuck are you doing, kid? Speech.
Yeah. And in this episode, Makoto punches him, and then Kanon shows up and says, my boyfriend's being accosted. And Makoto says, let's go, Takeru.
Yeah, what more do you want, Jeff? That's perfect.
That's perfect. Character growth.
Yeah.
I'm not asking too much from a children's series, because other series in this children's series have character growth and development in them.
Yeah, it's important to note whenever we shit on Ghost, we judge Kamen Rider by the standards of Kamen Rider, not by the standards of all fiction.
Yeah, and that's the thing, when we talk about Super Sentai, I'm sure people are like, wow, this is a really fucking simplistic plot and characters, and they love it. What's stupid as fuck? They're judging Ghost for its simplistic plot and characters. We're judging Sentai based on Sentai, and Rider based on Rider.
Yeah, they're different shows, and besides, even if George's characters are simplistic, I like them. They have personalities that they stick with.
I mean, characters in Ghost had a personality set up, most of them. It's just those personalities don't matter anymore, because they were never followed through with.
Yeah.
Like, Akari is the non-believer, and, like, the super scientist got brought up maybe a handful of times throughout this whole series. And Onari as the goofy motherfucker, they shoehorn that in whenever they can, but it doesn't give him a character.
It just makes him annoying. And I don't want to see him anymore. Oh boy, do you next
episode.
You
really hate Onari.
I hate Onari. Next episode.
I don't hate him, but.
He puts on some kabuki makeup and he's gonna make so many silly faces. Are you excited, Jeff? Oh boy, I can't wait to see how many funny faces he makes.
You know what I'm excited about next episode of Ghost? Loud.
What?
Yamato's on it. That's it. That's all I'm excited about.
Here's what's going to happen next week with the crossover. Juojir is going to lift Ghost up, and Ghost is going to drag Juojir down, and there's going to be some sort of middle neutral buoyancy.
Yep. I can't wait to see Yamato in Ghost and the Juojirs in Juojir.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can ignore Ghost in both. I have a theory.
What is your theory?
You know how the old man is actually, like, the chancellor or what the fuck ever?
Mm-hmm.
He's also evil man with shorter white hair in the other world?
I'm still not sure if they're the same character.
They're the same character.
They might coincidentally look the same, or like
they're
brothers.
They're the same character.
We'll see.
You know, I have a theory.
What is your theory?
And that theory is Urisen is Alan's sister.
Wait, you mean Aelia?
Yeah, Aelia.
Yeah.
Urisen is Aelia. That is my theory, my fan theory that would make this series far more interesting than what's actually gonna happen.
Yeah, Jeff, that is way too interesting for Ghost. There's no way that would happen.
The prayer room or whatever, like, is that gonna be something, or are the stained glass just monsters?
I wish I could say it's gonna be something, but it really seems like, oh, if a monster's fucked, just send a stained glass down.
And it's a monster. And the monster fuses with your monster.
Yeah.
Makes a hybrid monster that's stronger, but still gets its ass beat.
Yep. Gotta show off those upgrades.
Maybe it'll be like Drive, and nothing happens for a really long time.
I think at this point, even if from episode 24 onwards, Ghost smashes away and becomes good, I think it's been long enough that we can say Ghost is a bad show. We're about halfway through,
even when Drive was painfully episodic, it was two-parter after two-parter after two-parter, it was filled with characters that I liked, I wanted to see more of, I loved the way they interacted together. Ghost has none of that. I don't want to see what happens to these characters.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
The only character I even at one point really liked is dead in a coffin for the next few episodes.
He's trapped. Oh, and boy.
The personality that I liked that he had is long gone.
We gotta go retrieve Makoto's body. And is this gonna be a really long operation that might take like 5 episodes? Nope. We're gonna get in and out in 1 episode. But first, the crossover,
and then there'll be an episode where Alan refuses to help, and then he eats takoyaki and smiles awkwardly and decides he will help.
And then Javert shows up.
Yeah, then Javert shows up, and then they lose, and then Javert shows up again.
I can't wait for the next time Javert shows up.
Javert has a cool outfit. He's got that going for him.
Yeah, I guess we gotta wait until, what's next, Infinity Soul, before we're gonna see him again? He'll be back.
You know, what the fuck could even happen that would be more powerful than all the icons forming one belt?
Infinity icons forming one belt. Infinite copies of each one.
You know, fuck you for telling me what's going to happen on this show. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be infinity icons. Like, all the icons are going to form together.
Maybe it's the ghosts of everybody who ever died, hero or not, in the icon.
This show's stupid.
Okay, let's stop talking about it then. You want to hear some news?
Yeah, I love news.
Me too. Our top story this week is Kamen Rider Amazons.
The most elaborate
April Fool's ever created.
I knew you were going to say that, so I had to jump in on it.
No, okay, for those of you who don't know, real quick, Kamen Rider Amazons is a series about these two guys who turn into two different versions of Kamen Rider Amazon.
And like one exist, of them... They exist in a world where all monsters are called Amazons. And they're all, like, brutish, like, murderous-ass monsters. And there are organizations specifically formed to destroy them.
Yeah, and these two guys have an Amazon driver each. But only one of them has, like, the shoulder bear trap thing that Amazon has.
The Gigi armlet.
The Gigi armlet. And they turn into red Amazon, Amazon Omega and Amazon Alpha. And they fight monsters and shit, and they rip spines out and stuff.
It's very violent. It's shot in a similar manner to, like, I don't want to scare anybody, but it's shot in a similar manner to the first and the next.
Oh, yeah.
Shot very cinematically, and the press releases all say that they're basing this on the popularity of Western superhero movies.
Also, Yasuko Kobayashi set to pen the script.
Funny, you might remember about her last episode.
Yeah,
we got a question about what our favorite writers are, what writers we hear about, and we get excited when we hear about it. And we both said that Kobayashi was one that we got excited about.
It's cool if it's not a joke, but like, there's three.
It's not a joke.
There's three things that make me think it might be a joke. Okay, first of all, Shirakura came out and said Kamen Rider is boring now, and I think
the actual quote is, "Do you believe that Kamen Rider has been interesting lately? I don't."
And I think somebody associated with Toei, that would be like committing career suicide for them, if you came out and was like, yeah, this show sucks.
I don't know. You think about it like this, when, like, Clear Eyes. Let's take Clear Eyes, for example.
Okay.
Clear Eyes has a formula that's normal. It's just regular formula, and you put it in your eyeballs, and it heals them all up.
Okay.
And then they have Clear Eyes Extra Strength, which is advertised as being better than Clear Eyes. Wouldn't that make Clear Eyes seem like a shittier product? And the company itself is doing that. But companies do that all the fucking time.
Okay, but that's medicine.
The better version.
It's like, but they're discrediting their own product here. When it's Clear Eyes.
Well, when their own product is Ghost, what the fuck are you gonna say about it?
I don't know. But that's thing number one that makes me think it might be a joke. Thing number two is the release date is April 1st. That's the big one.
That's what made me think it was a joke to begin with, until all the trailers and stuff started coming out.
Thing number three is it's exclusive to Amazon Prime streaming service, which is my favorite little detail. Because it's Amazons. Which is like, has Toei ever put anything on Amazon Prime?
I don't actually know.
I don't, like, why wouldn't they just air it like usual? Maybe in a different time slot?
If you were Japanese Amazon, and people constantly make jokes and little pop culture references to connect your company with a widely popular series, wouldn't you want to strike a deal in order to get the new version of that series on your service?
Maybe. Maybe.
It's like how all those stupid Chuck Norris jokes that idiots still try to because they think it's funny because they have brain damage. And then Chuck Norris did a series of commercials where he did those jokes.
Yeah.
You're using internet memes to boost your own popularity.
I'm still very skeptical. I'm still very, very skeptical.
I'm not. I will put my considerable reputation with the internet on the line.
Oh!
And say that Amazon's is a real product because there's a fucking trailer and toys.
Yeah, they made a trailer, they made toys, they made two pretty cool-looking suits.
Yeah, those suits are cool. I agree with what somebody on Twitter said. I forget who said it. But I think it might have actually been Ega Devil who said this. I love specific things about both suits and think if they were mixed together, it would make a really great suit.
Yeah, and maybe that's the feeling they were trying to elicit out of them.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I like both suits, though.
Because they're like two halves of a whole. They're both Amazons.
There's actually apparently a third Amazon, according to people who watched the trailer. Like an Amazon, not just a whatever.
What?
Amazon.
Oh, huh. I saw the trailer, but I didn't catch that. I don't speak Japanese or anything.
There are four, technically.
Well, there's monsters in the trailer.
Yeah, there are four Amazons that are shown really quickly in the trailer, like Alpha and Omega, and Alpha's monster form before he gets the Gigi armlet.
Oh, is
shown.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And then
there's
another one that's shown really quickly that's like brown.
Oh, I thought that was just a monster.
But all the monsters are called Amazon, so technically I'm right, motherfuckers.
Fucking, this is confusing.
And do they say Amazon to transform? Because it seemed like it.
Yes, they do.
It's a little bit like yelling Kamen Rider to transform.
They did that in Kamen Rider Dragon Knight. Yeah, they just showed Kamen Rider. Alright. Whatever.
You're stealing all our shit, Japan. How dare you take our powerful Rangers and call it your Super Sentai?
I was just gonna fucking say that. Your sick reference, bro.
Yeah, thanks, man. So, Amazon's might be real. And I think it is.
I'm gonna withhold judgment until April 1st. I'm very, very skeptical. But if it's real, hey, I'm on board. It looks fucking cool. I can't wait.
And apparently, materials from Amazon Prime are fairly easy to rip. So we might be getting subs quicker than you would imagine.
That would be nice. I guess it'd be faster. Yeah, if it's digital.
Here's hoping it's better than Ghost.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance in hell of it being worse than Ghost. Not with Kobayashi at the helm, come on.
No.
She's had slip-ups before.
Yeah, she's got a pretty good batting average.
Yeah, but she's good. She's good.
Any more news, buddy?
While we were recording last week, we finished recording, and I opened up Twitter, as I do, and staring me right in the face was, oh, look, Kamen Rider Agito is getting some Blu-rays.
Yeah! You excited?
I am pretty excited. I'm still, like, deep in the middle of Agito. And I think that's pretty neat, because Kuga got some Blu-rays recently, too, and you could see the fucking awful, awful special effects in full 1080p. That's one of those things where, like, old Kamen Rider is, like, the special effects aren't as visible because it's low resolution, and then you blow it up, and you're like, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah, we don't really need HD re-releases of any of the original series.
Except for Ryuki. Ryuki is bad no matter what resolution you view it at. Oh my shit, those special effects.
Ryuki was like, we need to put a gray special effect barrier between people and the special effects that we're putting up. We need the gray filter. Well, people will notice it. Just put it over the whole show. No one will know.
Advise the viewer to smear Vaseline on the TV before watching. It's the mirror monsters. They shit themselves with the mirror monsters. They're, oh god, the CGI budget. We gotta make them look terrible.
They're they're basically done by the people that did Reboot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they look like Reboot monsters.
And Reboot came out in, like, 1993 or 1994 or something, so...
Yeah, but that's all. There's nothing really going on there. Just, it's Agito Blu-ray's coming out. Get hype.
Maybe we'll get some cool rips.
Yeah. Jeff, did you see the Shotaro Shinomura icon?
I sure did.
What do you think?
It's an icon.
Yep. The symbol's his face. It's green.
It's basically the way he draws characters in his manga.
Yeah.
It's like a little round nose and a big frowny face and like big eyebrows.
I think that's a nice little tribute you put his art style on the...
I think that's the best, absolute best you could have done with it.
Yeah,
and it makes me really wonder what the hoodie form is going to be for that.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to see it. I hope. It's probably going to be like a
Where
Gamba
Rising...
Where are
we going to see it?
I don't know. Maybe it'll be a Gamba Rising card.
Maybe.
But they did it with all the other Heisei hoodies. They made pictures for all them's.
Some of them are actually pretty cool looking, too.
Yeah, some of them... Like, Wizard doesn't translate very well, but I like Kuga. Ryuki's looked pretty cool.
Kuga and Agito look really cool.
Yeah. Blades look neat.
Yeah.
Some of them just translated pretty well.
Some of them translated not so well.
Like what? Which ones didn't you like?
I did not like Ryuki's.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that didn't translate very well.
I guess the little wing flaps on his face don't really go over.
There are a few. I don't really remember them off the top of my head, but for the most part, I really liked all of them.
Yeah.
And you'll never see any of them in anything.
Yeah, it's a shame. Except for Ganba Rising.
I've never Ganba Rised in my life.
I want to Ganba Rise so bad. It looks pretty fun.
You gotta go to Japan Land.
I gotta go to Japan. It's just a bunch of quick time events, but you get to see all your favorite riders fighting each other.
You get to pay money for quick time events.
Oh, why don't you just play a David Cage game?
Just like most AAA titles.
Oh, yeah, we both made a video game joke. There you go.
Burn, video game industry.
So, yeah, they're gonna go out of business tomorrow with our biting criticism. Video games are over.
It's gonna be all over the fucking news. It's gonna be on the front page of Kotaku. Before it goes down. But Ganba Rising is the only place we're ever gonna see those hoodies, if we ever see them anywhere.
That's a shame. Well, that's all the news we got, Jeff. Did you watch Juojer?
I always watch Juojer. I look forward to Juojer.
What did you think of this week's?
I see a problem developing with Juojer.
Okay, what's that?
I really liked this episode. I liked it almost as much as I liked every other episode so far. I love Juojer, love all the characters.
Mm-hmm.
It was a problem that I was seeing developing early on, and it happens with so many Super Sentai series. And I think I mentioned it even once, and that people wouldn't hate it super much if it happened because everybody likes Yamato. But this series has become the Red Ranger does shit while everybody stands around and cheers.
Oh, the Kyuujir problem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Yamato's a really great character, so I don't think anybody's going to get too angry with that. But I was like, why can't the other Juojers do something right now? Why did they get their asses kicked?
I think...
He's just the T-Rex dopant with paint on him. They should win.
I think in my perfect world... Juojer would just kind of cycle through the cast for episode focus.
Like you'd
have Yamato, and then you'd have Tusk, and then maybe you'd have Sayla, or just random order, I don't care. But just like give them each their own episode where they are the central character. I quite like Sentai episodes where you just pick a random member, and he's the main character this week.
Yeah. The thing with that criticism is that might not even fucking stand. Next episode onwards, because this was a two-parter that focused on Yamato. It was Yamato's relationship with Larry.
Yeah.
So that could be why everybody stood around and cheered while he did something.
Yeah, we're
because it was his episode.
We're kind of going in dark to Juojer. We don't know what's going to happen next week, so we have no fucking clue where the show's actually going to go from here. But I enjoyed this episode very much. I remember saying last week that I hoped Larry would die. I take it back. I'm perfectly satisfied with how it turned out.
I am too. I'm glad Larry didn't die, and I'm glad he has gotten completely over his fear of humans. And it had one of the cutest little girl scenes that has ever been in any tokusatsu, where she says, "Gorilla San! Thank you for saving me." And I was just like, oh, my heart!
I remember watching the fight scene at the very end, when they all transform. And it elicited a feeling in me that Ghost has not elicited ever, in that, like, I was actually excited. I was like, oh, yeah, they're gonna, oh, go Geodrs. Because, like, and I never, ever, ever even came close to feeling that for Ghost. Ever! But this is, like, it's, the fight scenes in Toku aren't, the actual physical fight is not important. It's not important. I don't care. It could be just like the end of Kuga, slight spoiler, it could just be two guys punching each other in the field. I don't care. As long as the surrounding context of it is important. Here in Geodrs, you have a character who we met just last episode, but the show took time to endear us to him and to make us sympathetic to his plight, and he's made a sacrifice so that the main character can beat the bad guy, and now he's going to use the power given to him by Larry, and you're like, yeah, go get him, Yamato. It elicits this little childlike excitement watching the show. Like, I feel like I'm not totally dead inside when I'm sitting and watching Geodrs.
How interesting is that, though, that in one episode, because last episode we cared about Larry and we liked him, in one, like, half of an episode, we gained more insight and began to care more about a character than in the entirety of Ghost. And it's a guy in a fucking Bigfoot suit wearing Jamaica Rastafarian clothing.
Because you know him, and he has a personality, and they tell you the shit he's gone through, and you feel bad for him. That's it. That's all you gotta do. What you want
Larry's
to like
a character? Great character.
What shit they gone through? How do they react to it?
I hope Larry comes back again.
Yeah, I hope we see him maybe way later.
Yeah, I hope he comes back and he's like... He yells no again.
But Larry and Yamato in these last two episodes are a perfect example of what I was talking about before. Here's Yamato, and here's how you see him reacting to somebody who's scared of humans. Here's how he deals with it, and that's how you learn about his character. You don't have anything like that in Ghost.
Yamato's character grew in these two episodes. He didn't understand what taking this power meant, and he learned the hard way what it meant that he was taking the life of another person in order, the life force of another person in order to save the day, and he struggled with that, and he eventually learned that sacrifice is necessary in order to protect the world.
And that's what makes it a great two-parter. God, yeah, I like this TV show. I like this show a lot.
Yeah, I like Geodrs a lot. My gripe earlier is literally just like a, I hope this isn't how the rest of the series is, because I love this episode.
It's a legit worry. It's a legit worry, and I hope it doesn't come to pass. But still, this episode, great. Good episode. 10 out of thumbs up.
And it proved that Geodrs capable of not being over-the-top goofy when necessary.
Yeah.
Like, the only... Besides, like, the T-Rex dopant having a goofy personality and eating like Pac-Man, the only real joke in the whole episode is Leo agreeing with people too much, and everybody glares at him.
Yeah. And that's Leo's role in the plot. That's his character.
He's comic relief, but he's not so over-the-top goofy and ridiculous that... He endears himself to you instead of the exact opposite, which is what happens with Onari.
Yeah, he doesn't get up in your shit when it's not welcome, when the tone doesn't fit.
He's not like mugging in the camera or whatever. He's not like a really goofy character.
Yeah.
His personality is just one that's silly in context.
Yeah. One thing I noticed about Leo this episode is that his physical acting is very good. I mean like out of suit when he's just walking around. There's a shot when he and Sayla are searching through Larry's hut because Larry left the hut, you know, that part when he packs up everything and he's gone, and Sayla walks in like a normal person, and Leo like sort of spreads his body out the way he moves, and he sort of like slides. He has this weird way of moving around about the room where he like bounds about, and it's really neat. It makes him much more of a character. Like, just the way he moves, you can tell it's him.
Well, I noticed that earlier in the episode when they found out that the Death Galleon was attacking.
Mm.
And they were all leaving. Like, they ran out, but instead of just running around the table like everybody else, Leo, like, dive rolls onto the table and leaps off of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, that was really action-packed.
It's a nice detail.
That was awesome.
It's effort in the show.
it's creating a roundness to these characters. They're not just flat characters that they're just going to move the plot ahead.
It's they use the time to put in the little details that make you like them, that differentiate them from each other.
I think this says a lot about what type of shows you and I are really looking for when it comes to, like, tokusatsu, or probably just anything in general, is that we're looking for shows that have characters that have a roundness to them. Characters that we can enjoy, whether it's, like, love to hate, or just you really like them, or you enjoy their character growth, or the dimensions to them. We're looking for character pieces.
Yeah, I could forgive almost anything in a show if the characters are good. I watched Ryuki, that's why I like Ryuki so much. Ryuki is all about character motivations bouncing off of each other. It's why I like Kabuto so much, even though, like, I shit on Kabuto all the time, but it's probably top three for me. I really like that show.
Yeah, I really like Kabuto a lot, too.
By the end of it, even really early on, you're so endeared to Kagami, and by the end of it, you're pretty endeared to Tendo as well, and you want to see all these characters. And they stay enjoyable right up till the end.
Like, I never warmed up to Tendo as a character. I never liked him like I would like a person.
Yeah, but as like a fictional being.
I wanted to see more of him. I enjoyed his ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Like, how over-the-top full of himself he was. I enjoyed disliking him throughout most of the series. But yeah, Kagami endears himself to you to the point where I don't think anybody has ever watched Kabuto even like halfway through and left it saying, I don't like Kagami.
Yeah, he's great that way. I remember with Tendo, one of the scenes that made me like him so much is there's a scene when he's sitting talking to an interrogator from Zector, or from Zect, and she's like, are you Kabuto? He's like, what a stupid question. Do you look at the sun and ask, are you the sun? And she's like, all right, do you use the Zector to transform into Kabuto? And he's like, do you look at the sun and ask, do you shine? And it's like, he's such a piece of shit.
Yeah. Characters don't need to be realistic.
No.
In order to like them, either.
They have to have a tinge of realism. There has to be some part of them that is not completely fantasy, but they don't have to be fully realistic characters.
No, they can be absolutely fucking ridiculous characters, but they have to have some sort of humanity to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Then the characters in Ghost could be robots. It could turn out that they're all just robots at the end, and it wouldn't shock me.
If that was episode 50, and Takeru just, like, pulled his face off, and just revealed a bunch of servos and blinking lights and shit.
He pulls his fucking face off, and there's, like, the Terminator face behind it, and it just goes, da-da-da-da-da, and that's the end of the episode.
That would redeem the whole show.
Could you imagine how fucking pissed off kids would be at the end of the show if that happened and they didn't explain anything?
Oh my god. Oh shit. Just pull a Kiva and just have a crazy plot revelation in the last 2 minutes of the episode. Holy fuck.
I love Juojer.
Yeah.
I'll come out and say it. I love it.
Me too.
I love all the characters in Juojer. I was actually real. In any other series, if a big villain gets defeated at the end of an episode and then just comes back to life in the next episode, I would be fucking pissed. I would be like, oh, that's stupid as fuck. Why even kill him? But when Ezald started forming back together, I was like, hey, Ezald's still alive.
Yeah, I remember last episode, I was like, well, I think he died a little early. And then he comes back, oh, okay, he's not, okay, good, fine, alright.
Yeah, I was like, awesome, Ezald's still alive.
So,
and I'm
yeah.
remembering the villains' names, which never happens in Sentai. So
bang up job, Juojo writing staff.
Yeah, really enjoying it.
Good show.
How about some emails? What do you think of that?
Yeah, sure. I'm in the mood for some mail, if you got some.
Alright, our first email is from Crofton, who says, hey guys, still loving the podcast and definitely agreeing with both sides about Ghost.
Okay.
I wonder how he feels about it this episode, where we just took a steaming dump on it for the whole episode.
I didn't hate it as much as you, but, ooh.
That did not come through in your description of it. Though moving on to something better, when you mentioned about Hiroshi Fujioka and Bushido, me being racist last episode, if I remember, it reminded me that he was in a movie in the 80s where he was a samurai that got thawed out in New York.
What?
If anybody knows this movie, please tweet it at us, at Writer Club Radio. I want to see this shit.
That sounds like a sync tube. That sounds like a sync tube night.
Fuck yes. We might do a sync tube with it.
Might? I don't know what you're talking about.
And that whole talk about another Arkel without the Amadam was actually used in the Kuga novel. I think the person who found it was the scientist's daughter and was being targeted when Godai first got Pegasus form.
Well,
that's interesting.
Huh.
My questions this time are, would you both like a Rider series, after Ghost for obvious reasons, where the main Rider died and wasn't brought back to life through plot convenience, leaving the secondary Rider to become the lead character?
Yes.
Liam?
I think that's very neat.
See, I think that would be awesome, especially if the secondary, like, the main Rider is, like, some larger-than-life heroic guy. Who's, like, just the best, the greatest there ever was at being a hero, and then he dies, and the secondary character is some, like, really shitty guy who just wanted to live up to being that guy. And he has to follow in his shadow for the rest of the series.
Yeah, you could have that be, like, the last plot arc. Maybe have that start at, like, episode 37 or something. And then have that, like, his whole, the secondary writer's journey to be the end of the show.
See, I wouldn't even do it that late. Really? I would have it happen, like, episode 20.
Wow.
Just enough time to make you think that the whole series is going to be about this super awesome writer.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. No, I think that would be really cool in a show, if they handled it properly.
Yeah, if they handled it properly. See, that reminds me, if you left it towards the end, or even, like, at the beginning, it reminds me heavily of, like, when Kid Flash became the Flash in comics.
Yeah.
And he had to live up to the original Flash, or the original Flash, Barry Allen.
Oh, he's the second Flash, though, isn't he?
I didn't want to get into all that, but yeah. In that timeline, he was the original Flash. Comics are silly, but what I'm getting at is Barry Allen, the Flash, dies, and his sidekick, spoilers from 1983, by the way, but Barry Allen dies, and his sidekick, Wally West, becomes the Flash, and he spent the next 25 years of comics, probably the next 15 of comics, trying to live up to the legacy of Barry Allen. And it was a great, great long-term story.
Okay.
Because no matter what storylines came and went, he was constantly racing in the shadow of the first Flash.
Yeah.
And it was great to see him become his own character as time went along and figure out that he doesn't have to live up to the legacy. He's the new legacy.
That sounds pretty neat.
And I think that would be amazing for a Rider series.
Yeah, yeah, it would be cool. Or maybe you could even have it be two seasons, where one season is about the main Rider, and then the beginning of the next season is that Rider dying, and then it's the secondary story from then on.
Yeah, that'd be good, too.
If you want to have a continuity between seasons. I know Heisei never does that, but...
No.
Revolutionize.
Heisei's really not big on that.
Yeah.
It almost happened once.
When was that? Oh, yeah, Kuga Nagito. Agito. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm watching
the
show
one you're
right
watching
now.
Right now.
I'm sorry, Daredevil came out and it just swallowed it up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I'm also watching Daredevil.
Gotta watch me, Frank.
The next question is, if Toei ever decided to make an anime version of Kamen Rider Spirits, would it gain enough of a following to make it a full series or just an OVA? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, Kamen Rider's huge in Japan, right? And everyone
it's
loves...
It's big.
Yeah, everyone loves anime. I don't see why... if they retain the style and the quality of animation that actually reflected the art in the manga, I think that would gain a huge... At least, like, a huge cult following.
You mean if they don't animate it like Dragon Ball Super?
Have you seen... Just Toei. Toei, like... We talk a lot about, oh, that Toei, so cheap with their toku. Toei is very cheap with its anime, too, if you haven't seen a lot of their recent works.
Oh my god.
People tell me, I don't watch One Piece, but people tell me One Piece past a certain point gets real nasty, and I've seen some screenshots, and oh boy, it gets nasty. Sasuga Toei, just as expected.
I really think it would gain a following, though.
Yeah,
because
these
are classic characters that adults and children both know. It would be like if they started an... Every time they start a new Batman cartoon, it always gains this huge following to begin with. And then if it turns out to be shit, they stop watching it.
The Batman!
People even... Beware the Batman.
Beware the Batman,
is the one
also
I was thinking of.
Yeah. But you remember the one, the Batman, that had all the electric guitar all over it? Yeah.
The Batman, animated by the same exact studio and same animators as Jackie Chan Adventures.
Really?
Have you ever seen Bruce Wayne in that
series?
Oh,
yeah,
he looks
true.
Like Jackie Chan with a round head.
He looks exactly like Jackie Chan.
But I didn't actually dislike the Batman.
No,
that
wasn't
much.
That bad.
It was alright. But Beware the Batman was shit.
I didn't see any of that.
But there's this fandom built in, and I feel like adults who aren't even interested in anime would watch a Kamen Rider Spirits anime and be like, oh, I loved Kamen Rider as a kid. I always wanted them to do a cartoon of it.
And it's got all your favorite characters built in. If you're old in Japan, if you're like in your 40s or something, you probably watched Kamen Rider when you were a little kid, and you're like, oh, look, there's Joe Shigeru. There he is, my favorite, or Amazon, or whoever, all in the animation.
Spirits has updated the style of action to be much more modern. There's a lot more, like, violence and, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Graphic dismemberment.
Yeah.
It's a lot more like Amazon. So I feel like younger audiences would also be all about it.
I mean, if a Garo anime works, I don't see why Kamen Rider
anime
wouldn't.
Exactly.
Because
Kamen Rider is more popular than Garo. So.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, if it's good, it's a sure success. It's not like a lot of movies and cartoons that come out in the West, where, like, even if they're good, they're not a success. Like, Tron Uprising is one I'm thinking of that came out a couple years ago.
Symbionic Titan.
Symbionic Titan, where, like, even if it's good, it's not a guaranteed success, because maybe nobody watches it. But Kamen Rider, everyone's going to at least check it out, and if it's good, I think they'd stick with it. I think it could gain quite a following.
You were big into Tron Uprising.
Oh, I was so big into Tron Uprising. It was cool. It was a cool
I never
show.
Actually saw it, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
It was Batman Beyond in a computer.
That sounds pretty fucking sweet.
It's really fucking good, but just Tron is Bruce Wayne, and this new guy is the new Batman. That's how it goes.
Man, that sounds pretty awesome. I'll have to look it up eventually.
If you can stomach the whole show ending on a cliffhanger, you check out season one.
I'm so used to that happening in Western cartoons. I watched Samurai Jack from the first premiere episode.
Poor soul.
So
it's like if they're sitting there at their Warner Brothers or Cartoon Network or whatever, and they're like, yeah, is this new show? Yeah, okay. But how good is it? Is it good? It's really good? Alright, pull the plug on that shit.
How many toys can we sell of this?
It's too good. Gotta end it. Sorry.
People aren't gonna buy Symbionic Titan toys.
People aren't gonna buy this sick giant robot.
Nobody gets your fucking references to Voltron and fucking Battle of the Planets. Get out of here.
Welcome to the Western Cartoons cast. Speaking of Battle of the Planets, I just bought a full 22-disc box set of the Gatchaman original show.
Oh, you fucking bastard. I want it!
Oh, it's got subs redone, and it's also got a brand new dub redone just for this DVD release. It came out a few years ago.
Have you received it yet?
Yeah, I have it. It's sitting, it's collecting dust in the corner of my room right now.
Oh, you fucking piece of shit.
We should get together and watch it, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
It's a real
dude.
Sick show.
We're supposed to be getting together to play video games, too, but that shit never happens.
Yeah, well, that'll pan out. Just give it a few more years. I don't know.
I'm airing our dirty laundry. Our couple's dirty laundry.
You gotta talk about that time you cheated on me with that girl from fucking accounting, Jeff? While we're doing this
Look,
right now?
Don't bring up Becky!
Is this what you want
in our
to
podcast?
Hear?
Becky did nothing wrong!
That hussy...
Crofton ends the email with, keep up the awesome work, oh, and I've got my calendar marked for J-Day this year.
We were in the middle of an email. I was just I was about to end this show. We got so far off. I was about to be like, all right, well, that's it, everyone.
No.
Yeah,
okay. J-Day is, Kamen Rider J-Day is April 16th, if you haven't been following this podcast forever.
Oh shit, that's close.
You know, on April 16th is the day Kamen Rider J came out in theaters in Japan, and we are going to ask you to plant a tree that day.
Do something good for the earth.
Because I'm actually planting a tree that day. There will be photos of the tree I plant.
Yeah, put that shit up on the Twitter. Yeah, on the Twitter. That'll be fun.
So, plant a tree and take a photo and send it at Rider Club Radio. Because I want to see you helping the earth, goddammit.
Or maybe just take a photo of a tree and tell us you planted it. I mean, we don't have any way to disprove you, so...
We gotta stop the fog, mother, damn it. Also on April 16th at 8 o'clock, p.m. Eastern, we will be streaming Kamen Rider J.
Oh, wow, it falls on a Saturday night. That's lucky.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I was just checking to be like, you're gonna do this shit without my permission. I gotta check, buddy. No, yeah, it's
We've been planning this since last year.
Let's all watch Kamen Rider J together, everyone.
We'll do that. There will be a poster in the next day or so can pass around on the internet.
Yeah, maybe with this much lead time, we can get lots of people in.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
We usually get in the 20s or whatever. We hang out. We're a small, little, friendly group, whatever. Yeah,
we all have fun.
Our next email is from Hotshot. He says, hey guys, podcast still fairly enjoyable.
Okay, that's the highest review we've ever gotten, actually.
That's all we got. Yeah. It's fairly enjoyable.
Good, keep it up, guys. You're doing adequate.
So my question for this week is, if you could change, edit, or remove any weapon from any Rider series, which would it be and why? Liam?
I complained about this while I was watching Kabuto. There's an arc in Kabuto that lasts, like, 3 episodes where they gotta get this suitcase to Tendo Soji that contains a brand new weapon that'll help him. And they get it to him, and it's this ridiculous, like, upside-down duck foot gun that shoots out little mini Kabuto Zectors. And that's literal, that's toy commercial shit. That it, like...
Oh, yeah.
Kabuto didn't descend into actual toy commercial territory often, but that was the one time it really, really did. I would get rid of that completely. It was dumb, it looked incredibly stupid, it had no reason to be there. Definitely that stupid little gun. What about you, Jeff?
If you want to go back to the first Heisei Toei commercial, that would be, oh, this is so delicious, it's even good cold.
Yeah. Oh, Kuga. Which I remember you made a joke
Kuga
about...
Kuga eating McDonald's.
You made a joke about that on Twitter. You said one of his 2000 skills is being a corporate shill.
It's a complete fucking lie, too, because McDonald's becomes completely inedible when it gets cold.
McDonald's is barely edible when it's hot, and then it becomes cold, and it's literal trash. Then.
Yeah, you go eat out of a dumpster. It's the same thing as cold McDonald's, Kuga.
I guess, except for the drink. I mean, he's like...
Have somebody piss in your mouth. Nah, at least, Sody Pop is great.
At least it wasn't Kuga holding up a SH Figure Arts Kamen Rider Kuga and talking about how cool it was. I'd rather have Takeru eating McDonald's.
Oh, they made a toy of me.
Wow, look at that.
This makes complete sense in context.
Absolutely.
If I could take any weapon and edit or change it, I would change Justice Hunter's greats.
Oh, from Drive. Yeah, that's stupid thing.
Like, he's got, like, handheld grates that he fights with, which is dumb as fuck. I would make them into manacles that he uses, like, nunchaku.
Oh.
I think that would be sick as fuck.
That's super cool. Because in, the original, if you miss drive, is a big circle, and it's not a shield, it's just a circle you hold from one of the edges, and you swing around this big circle. It looks dumb.
You hit people.
Yeah, you hit people with it. It's really stupid.
I want it to be handcuffs, but they're nunchaku.
Yeah, I'd like that a lot.
That'd be boss as fuck. There should always be more nunchaku in everything.
Not enough nunchucks in
the 80s was right. Nunchucks in everything.
80s was right about a lot of things, Jeff. We could be here all night.
Reaganomics!
Oh, that turned out fucking perfect.
Turned out great!
Yeah.
Our next email is from King, who has specifically requested that we don't try to pronounce his second name.
King?
King, K-A-O-R.
Oh, King, King K-O-R.
Don't.
It's too late.
King Koopa asks, hey guys, just wanted to say that you're still the best English-speaking tokusatsu podcast that I listen to.
Thanks.
That's good.
I hope we're not the only one you listen to.
That's a good point. All the other tokusatsu podcasts fucking suck.
Yeah,
I'll say it.
All of you.
You all fucking suck. We're the best. Are there other tokusatsu podcasts?
We just burned every bridge we could have possibly crossed.
Anyways, I have a question. Has there ever been a moment when you were watching a toku show and you were surprised that a character shared a voice actor with another completely unalike character? For me, it was when I found out that Kentaros from Den-O had the same voice actor as Shadow Moon.
Holy shit. I guess my answer would be the Bird Juman having Kaiza for his voice.
Yeah.
I don't really, keep up on Japanese voice actors too much.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't watch a lot of anime. I don't know about all the Sayus in them.
We're dummies. We don't know anything about that.
No. But that's one that definitely caught me off guard, was Kaiza and Juojer. What about you,
I'm
Jeff?
I'm going to have to use Juojer as well, which is sad. But I was so excited when Larry started talking.
And oh.
It was immediate that he was the guy that voiced Joseph Joestar.
Yeah.
The JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime. I was so excited when that happened.
Yeah.
It warmed my coal black heart.
That's pretty good. I would have been too, probably, but I didn't watch the anime.
I did.
Oh.
I watched, there's a dub of the anime,
yeah,
right? And it is god-fucking-awful.
I bet. I wouldn't stake my money on that not being bad.
Like, you know how Joseph talks, right? He's like, Krakavole!
Yeah.
He's got, like, a really deep voice and shit. Actually, the voice of JoJo doing Larry is from Part 3. He's old Joseph. But anyway, it's a Part 2 dub is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, a really deep, punkish voice.
Yeah.
And in the, dub, I don't know where the dub is from, but in the dub, he has a high-pitched, nasally, upper-class British accent.
Really?
That's
yes. Weird.
And I'm like, genuinely angry anytime I hear it.
I've never heard this before.
I've never been angry about a voice actor before, but I'm genuinely angry every time I hear it.
No, I never...
Like, how could you do this to my favorite JoJo, you assholes?
They don't care. They're making dubs, they don't give a shit.
Dubs are the best.
Dubs are the best.
You know who's the best at dubs? 4Kids.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to throw Saban in that ring, too.
Saban's the best at everything.
Saban...
Haven't you seen their seminal masterpiece, Big Bad Beetleborg?
Fuck you, Saban. You ruined Digimon, you pieces of shit.
They ruin everything they touch. So Saban, whose most famous phrase is "Give me my money."
Yeah, well, I want my money. Where's my money?
Where's my money?
I want
he
all
sounds
my money
like
back.
A fucking loan shark.
He sounds like a mafioso.
He does.
He is the toku mafioso.
He is the John Toei of the West.
True. Oh my God.
Chaim Saban is John Toei's twin brother. Wouldn't it be hilarious if the CEO of Toei was just Chaim Saban wearing, like, a goatee? Like, the Mirror Universe Chaim Saban.
Mirror World Chaim Saban, yeah.
That's all the emails we have this week.
Okay. We have an email. That's riderclubradio@gmail.com.
Shoot us an email. We might answer it on the air if your question's not really stupid and lame.
Okay. We got a Twitter. That's at Rider Club Radio. Neither of those things have any caps or spaces or numbers or anything that would make them hard to use.
It's at Rider Club Radio. We tweet irregularly, but we always tweet stuff that's good.
Yeah. Always everything good.
Everything we ever do is just the best.
Yeah.
So
if you don't know that by now, I mean, I don't know why you're still here.
We're on episode 700 of this piece of shit, so you should know by now. We produce pure garbage.
Pure trash. See you next week for more... for more rubble.
Please come back. I have children.
Goodbye.
Curious to be